The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and I hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday morning. I wanted to read to you from Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16. The scripture says this, "There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven, which are an abomination to him, utterly repulsive to him. Number one, haughty eyes, or as the King James says, a proud look. God hates pride. Number two, a lying tongue. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. Number four, a heart that devises wicked plans. Number five, feet that run rapidly to evil. Number six, a false witness who utters lies." The Lord hates a lying tongue, number two. And number six, he hates a false witness who utters lies. And lastly, and one who spreads strife among brothers. Isn't it interesting that in the list of the seven things God hates, two of them deal with lying? God hates lying. The Lord is truth. It's an abomination to him when people tell lies. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus said whenever he speaks falsehood. He speaks a lie because that's his nature. And that's the only way the devil can get his work done, is through the lie. I've heard it said years and years ago, and it's so true. Every time we are tempted and every time we fall into sin, we're believing the lie that this activity, this attitude, this bitterness, whatever it might be, is going to satisfy us. This anger, this getting a pound of flesh in revenge is going to be satisfying. And it's going to meet our needs and is going to really be a long-term benefit. It's not. It's a lie. And the devil, all the devil does is lie. He is a liar and the father of lies. Now, you have probably heard it said that truth and time go hand in hand. If you give the truth enough time, you will see that it was indeed true. A lie doesn't last. A lie is, somebody asked a little boy one time, what is a lie? He said, a lie is an untruth and a very present help in trouble. We think, well, I'll just lie about this because it'll help me in the moment. But lies don't last. Lies are exposed as lies. Now, you heard at the top of the hour, and no doubt you've been hearing on the news, and today it's a reality. Actually, it was a reality at midnight, 12:01 a.m., that the government has shut down, and there's a standoff between the Republicans and Democrats. And the Republicans are saying, well, we're not going to fund all this stuff. We're not going to fund health care for illegal aliens. And we're not going to fund transgender lunacy and these surgeries and things that you want to do to kids. And so the Democrats are fighting for that. We're fighting for health care, this and that. We hear from Chuck Schumer. I saw a post yesterday from Caroline Leavitt and Chuck Schumer. She's lying. You know, everything she says here is a lie. And so I asked AI, Grok AI, on the X platform. I said, who's lying here? Is Chuck Schumer lying, yes or no? Well, it came back, yes, he's lying. You know, and people say, well, it's more nuanced than that. It's not. Just go back to the Joe Biden situation. Chuck Schumer, the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, he was asked about Joe Biden, and this is what he had to say.
Kristen Welker, the moderator, confronted Chuck Schumer over the many lies he told about Biden being a superhero behind the scenes. You know, if only we could see him the way Schumer sees him.
I want to play you a little bit of something you said last year. Take a look.
His mental acuity is great. It's fine. It's as good as it's been over the years. All this right-wing propaganda that his mental acuity is declined is wrong.
Leader Schumer, what do you say to Americans who feel as though you and other top Democrats misled them about President Biden's mental acuity?
Well, he's a patriot. He's a great guy. And when he stepped down, he did it on his own because he thought it was better not only for the Democratic Party, for America. We should all salute him. We should all salute him.
Do you feel, as we have this conversation today, that President Biden could serve another 4 years had he stayed in the race and potentially won?
Well, I'm not going to speculate. I think his record is a stellar one, and he'll go down in history as a really outstanding president.
So it doesn't answer. He's a great guy.
Well, if you really think that Joe Biden is going to go down in history as a really great president, you're either a total fool or you're a total liar, or perhaps you're both. Well, here is Chuck Schumer, and I'm bringing this up for a point, but here is Chuck Schumer being asked again about Joe Biden.
Did you really not have any idea that he was not fit to serve a second term?
Casey, we're looking forward. We have the largest Medicaid cut in front of us. We have the whole federal government at risk.
You're facing all of this because you lost a presidential election. And is that not Joe Biden's responsibility for deciding to run again?
We're looking forward.
Senator, would the party have had a better chance of winning in 2024 had President Biden dropped out sooner?
You know, everything we look at in a rearview mirror after you lose an election, yes, we would have been served better by a primary. But we are where we are. We're not on the History Channel right now. And I believe that President Biden can come out and speak and do interviews whenever he wants.
What do you...
So they were deflecting, and Chuck Schumer didn't want to answer the question. We're just looking forward. Well, here's why that matters, is because you lied, and you never have owned your lie. You never have apologized about the lie. And so moving forward, I'm not going to believe anything you tell me. You know, Debbie and I would tell the girls when they were growing up, listen, the worst thing that you can do is lie to us. If you do something wrong and we call you out on it, tell us the truth. Because if you lie to me, then I don't ever know when you're telling the truth, because you have proven to me that you will lie. The old expression, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So if the person that is leading your party in the Senate is a well-known documented liar, don't believe him. Don't believe anything he says. Keep calling him out on his lies until he tells the truth. You know, I mean, have you ever told a lie? Have I ever told a lie? I think all of us would say guilty as charged. But when you lie about something, you have to come clean. And there's a reason why people lie. Because as that little joke says, a lie is a very present help in trouble. We lie because we think that's going to get us out of negative consequences. But truth and time always go hand in hand. Lies are always exposed over time, and truth always comes to the forefront over time. And it is very amazing, actually, that so many of the things that Donald Trump has said over the years have come true. People laugh at him, and they were mocking him when he would say different things, and then given enough time, boom. Oh, well, what he said was right. What, and I don't know how Trump has such keen instincts, but he knows a lot of things. Those that that like to say Donald Trump is a dummy, you're not looking at the situation correctly. You might hate the guy for this, that, and the other, but as far as him being a dummy, not true. And I saw a clip where Charlie Kirk was getting grilled by somebody on the college campus and talking about Trump's failed business endeavors. And, you know, Charlie Kirk just said, well, the guy's a multi-billionaire. I think he's pretty good at business. She said, oh, he's given all that. He said, well, he was given several million dollars, but he built that into a real estate empire worth several billion dollars, you know, from millions to billions. I would say that's pretty successful. Has he had some hiccups along the way? Yes. And then Charlie turned it back on the girl and said, how have you done financially? You know, it's kind of funny when you have these people that they love to criticize. They've never done anything. They've never led anything. You know, they criticize Charlie Kirk. They say, well, you didn't even go to college. He said, no, I was too busy building a business. I was building Turning Point USA, and I was, you know, getting people to fund what we were doing. And I was obviously learning at a rapid rate all the things that that guy knew. But, you know, you sit on your high horse, a lot of these people on the left, and say, well, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. You're missing what really matters. Hey, big news coming out of Houston. Maybe you saw this. The Houston Planned Parenthood, which was the largest Planned Parenthood clinic in the nation, it closed down yesterday. It opened May 2010, and it closed yesterday, and it is credited with murdering over 110,000 unborn babies during its tenure. So that closed down yesterday. The Melanie Litton, the president of the Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, said that it's heartbreaking, infuriating, and the direct result of these sustained political attacks. So has it made a difference what Donald Trump did when he put conservatives on the Supreme Court and Roe v. Wade was overturned? Yes. Has it made a difference what people have done in the pro-life movement, praying and working and speaking up? Yes. This lady, Melanie Litton, said rising costs, staffing shortages, and low reimbursement rates have caused us to close. Now, this was said by a pro-lifer that was speaking on behalf of this situation. This was a great celebration to shut down the Houston Planned Parenthood Clinic. He said, when abortions are restricted or alternatives are offered, Planned Parenthood often closes even its most prosperous locations, undermining claims of prioritizing non-abortion care for low-income women. You know, we hear that from Planned Parenthood. Oh, we do way more than just abortions. Abortion is just a small part of our total portfolio. That you exist to abort babies. That's what you do. You add in a few other things, but you know, you're a steakhouse that also has a salad bar. You don't exist if people said you couldn't serve steak anymore. You're not going to exist as a salad operation, and that's what Planned Parenthood does. And so this idea that, oh, we provide all these services for all these women and you're going to shut this down and you're against women, blah, 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 the things that we hear. Well, it's all about abortion. It's all about murdering the unborn. It is sick. It is twisted. And so we praise God that a place like Houston Planned Parenthood had to shut down. Now, obviously, there's a big battle going on with people getting mifepristone, if I said that correctly, to do abortions in their home without a doctor's care. The dangers of that and the lies coming from that. Oh, it's as safe as taking a Tylenol, which now we're finding out Tylenol is not necessarily all that safe. But that's just not true. And women can have serious, serious problems, even to the point of death, and that we need to pray that that comes crashing down, and the idea that you can get an abortion pill through the mail without a doctor's care or oversight is just evil. Well, given enough time, the truth always wins out. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time, right here on American Family Radio.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about truth today. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. We need to learn when somebody is telling us lies, and we need to make a note of the people that lie to us on a regular basis. And when they tell us something else, don't believe them. You would be a fool. You know, I think it was Rudy Giuliani who said this one time. I think he was talking about Obama. He was talking about negotiations with other countries. He said, you know, if you sit down at the poker table with a guy that's a cheater, how many times are you going to play with him? He's cheating. You don't want to play with cheaters. And anybody that would continue to play with a guy that's cheating is a moron, because you're just giving your money away in that scenario. And so when it comes to politicians that lie through their teeth, don't believe them. Call them on the carpet. Keep asking them questions about, well, you said this and this didn't happen. You said that and that didn't happen. I had mentioned before Elizabeth Warren, you know, when it came to the Biden is sharp as attack lie that was being, just parroted over and over and over on news programs and things. Joe Scarborough, this version of Joe Biden is the best version ever of Joe Biden. And I mean, it's just sickening. It's like, hey, we have eyes, we have ears, we see him stumbling around. If this version of Joe Biden is the best version of Joe Biden, well, then that guy has been, he's been decrepit for a long time. He's been mentally deficient for a long time. But the Elizabeth Warren interview, I forget who was interviewing her, but, you know, she was the one who lied and said she was American Indian when she wasn't, and got benefits from that. That's why Donald Trump calls her Pocahontas. I don't think she likes that too much, but that's why he does that. And they were asking her about Joe Biden. Well, you said that you saw and he was, so great and blah, blah, blah. Why did you say that? She goes, well, that's what I saw from him. I never saw any decline. And, he spoke well. And then he kept pressing her on it. And he said to her, well, do you think that he's in the same place you are in his mental acuity? And she had to stop and kind of laugh. And she said, well, you know, I get your point. Obviously, she was lying. The whole group was lying. They got their talking points from whomever gives them out on the left. This is the party line. Keep going with it. And, we got to keep up the charade. And you have Kamala Harris now. She's got her book out, 107 Days. And, you know, as I haven't read the book, I wouldn't buy the book. I don't think I'd read it if you gave it to me. But, you know, she's trying to make the case that nobody's ever done what she tried to do, and just in 107 days and spent over $1 billion. She was a terrible candidate, and she is one that just word salad on all the questions that came her way. She never answered things directly. You know, I'm of the opinion, and others are of this opinion, listen, lay out your plan for America. Just say, this is what I want to see done. And tell the truth. This is what you want to do. And let the other candidate tell the truth. This is what he wants to do. And just let the American people decide. But don't lie to us saying, well, I want to do X, when you really want to do Y. Now, one of the favorite senators of many is Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana. And the way he has, you know, weaves in humor with his answers when he is interviewing somebody or when he himself is being interviewed. This is what he had to say about the shutdown.
Very quickly, Senator, just give us your recent take on this government shutdown, whether it's going to happen, and what you see at stake here.
We're going to have a shutdown because Senator Schumer and the Democrats want one. It will be further evidence that human evolution is a slow process. There's no reason for the shutdown. What we've asked Senator Schumer and his colleagues to approve is what we've approved 15, 20 times, but they want a shutdown because the loon wing of the Democratic Party is mad at Chuck, and Chuck wants them to love him, so we're going to have a shutdown.
Okay. All right. We will watch it unfold. Thank you very much, Senator Kennedy.
You know, even Bill Maher would agree, as far as he talked about the loon wing of the Democratic Party. The loon wing is in control. And when the loon wing is in control, everything moves further and further and further left at a faster and faster pace. And somebody played a clip from Bill Clinton in the early 1990s, and they said, if somebody said what he said in, I think it was 1993, today, the left would call him a fascist. Well, that's Bill Clinton. That's how things have changed so much and moved so far left. Well, let's shift gears and talk about the speech Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of War, gave to his generals yesterday. I don't know if you heard it, but man, it was spot on. I love Pete Hegseth. Pete Hegseth makes no bones about the fact that he loves Jesus and he's given his life to Jesus. And does he have a past? Yes, he does. You know, you can throw stones at him if you want, but as Jesus said, John chapter 8, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And so this is what Pete Hegseth said to his generals about how the military is going to be conducted moving forward.
This administration has done a great deal from day one to remove the social justice, politically correct, and toxic ideological garbage that had infected our department, to rip out the politics. No more identity months, DEI offices, dudes in dresses. No more climate change worship. No more division, distraction, or gender delusions. No more debris. As I've said before, and will say again,
this is going to stop. Now, he didn't use stop, so we changed that. But I like the fact, I agree with everything he says. I think most Americans agree with everything he says. Hey, we are having, this is a war machine. That's why they changed it. It's not Department of Defense, it's the Department of War. And those guys in our military are defending America, and they are protecting our interests. And just like a football team or a basketball team or a baseball team, they need to be in shape and they need to be top notch and they need to do their job. And it doesn't have anything to do with DEI or any of that stuff. Who cares what color you are? You need to be able to do the job. And he ends up calling out the generals. He said, we don't want fat people in the service. And if they're fat, then work them out to get the weight off. We don't want fat generals. And Pete Hegseth is in good shape. He said, hey, at his age, however old he is, 50-something, he said, if I can do this PT, you can do it too. And we need to have guys that are in shape and women. He said, you know, if women can do the work and they can meet the requirements, then they're welcome for sure. If they can't, they can't. So it's not a question of male or female. It's a question of can you reach the bar that we are setting? And that, as a friend of mine said, man, that's going to draw in the alpha males who want their lives to count and want to stand up and be strong in the military, because we desperately need to have a strong military. Well, another thing, as you know, that's a big, big issue in our country, and we're hearing the screeches coming from the left, has to do with crime. And Trump is cracking down on crime, violent crime. He wants to clean up the cities in America. Everyone should salute that. Everyone should be for that. Who in the world is for crime and for criminals? Oh, well, there is a party that seems to be for crime and for criminals. The crime just follows them, and they support the criminals, and they look at criminals as victims and victims as criminals. Well, this is what Donald Trump had to say concerning the violence in America.
For far too long, Americans have been forced to put up with Democrat-run cities that set loose savage, bloodthirsty criminals to prey on innocent people, really very, very innocent people. In every place, they control radical left judges, politicians, and activists, and they've adopted a policy of catch and release for thugs and killers. In Charlotte, North Carolina, we saw the results of these policies when a 23-year-old woman who came here from Ukraine met her bloody end on a public train. And here's a picture of it. This is the picture of it. And this is a picture of the woman, a beautiful young girl that never had problems in life.
Well, she might have had some problems.
With a magnificent future in this country. And now she's dead. She was slaughtered by a deranged monster who was roaming free after 14 prior arrests. We cannot allow a depraved criminal element of violent repeat offenders to continue spreading destruction and death throughout our country. We have to respond with force and strength. We have to be vicious just like they are. It's the only thing they understand. 24 of the top 25 most dangerous cities in America are run by Democrat mayors. 50 people were murdered in Chicago in recent weeks, with hundreds being shot. And it's time to stop this madness. The people of our country need to insist on protection, safety, law, and order. We have proven that it can be done because we did it right here in D.C., in District of Columbia, the capital of America, was a bloodthirsty, horrible, dangerous place, one of the worst. And now it's a crime-free city, and we're going to keep it that way. It can be done. It can happen fast. All we want is, please, Mr. President, we need help. Chicago needs help. Other cities need help. We'll do what has to be done, because we're going to make America safe again. And that includes our big cities. We're going to make those cities safe. Thank you.
Now, those that hate Donald Trump are going to hate what he says. I mean, they hate anything he says. He says, don't take Tylenol if you're pregnant, and people are going to go out the Tylenol challenge. I mean, it's just insane. But who would argue that our cities are fine? Chicago's fine. We don't need to have a cleanup in Chicago. Of course it's not fine. And who suffers the most? It's in those difficult neighborhoods, those lower income neighborhoods that turn into war zones and drive-by shootings and things like that, and poor moms, single moms that are trying to raise their kids, and you know, keeping them off the streets and away from the gangs. It's just horrific. And so every American ought to be for. Obviously, if you're a criminal, you're not for cleaning up the streets. But every honest, hardworking, diligent American that wants a better country should be for that. And we should be welcoming the help in law enforcement. You know, this whole Antifa, defund the police that, you know, was going on during George Floyd and afterward, that whole idea that brings the country into total chaos and anarchy. You have to have law and order to have a country. And that is the job of government. Let's just review that again. What is government here to do? It's not here to give free health care to people who are in the country illegally. The scripture is clear. Rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For government is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. It is a minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. That's government's primary function, to keep law and order, and to keep law and order that is consistent with the law of God. Now, we submit to authority until authority tells us to do something that violates the law of God. That's why the disciples said to the Sanhedrin, whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you or to obey God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. We have a command from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we're going to carry that out. And you can't tell us not to do that, or you can tell us, but we're not going to obey you in that. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we're going to open the phone lines. And just to give you some time, I know we're coming up against a break, but 888-589-8840, that's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment or maybe a brief testimony. We've talked about a lot of different things, but the whole program has really been geared on telling the truth. Because truth and time go hand in hand. There are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination to him. And in the list of seven, lying is mentioned twice. God hates lying. And so we need to make sure that our lives, we're not living a lie. You know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, one of my favorite passages, I refer to it a lot, 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, guess what? We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Give me a call, 888-589-8840, and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we are opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you if you have a question, a comment. It can be on something we've been talking about today, or if you just have a burning question about an issue in Scripture or something like that, I'd be happy to give that a shot. And I may not know the answer, but I'll see what I can do. So we are going to go to Jerry in Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, brother. Pastor is just asking that, you know, pray for my family. We just decided that we can't sit underneath the pastor that we've been sitting under for a while. I've addressed him on numerous occasions to find out why he doesn't touch on certain subjects that would battle the culture. And basically what he says is, we don't want to preach politics in the pulpit because it pushes people away, and we're here to share Jesus with everybody. My understanding is that Jesus flips tables over and whips people out of the synagogue, the temple. I said, you can't preach on anything out of the Bible these days because they've made everything politics. So if you're not going to preach out of the Bible, we've got to go. But we're just asking for prayer. We're going to do some home study and probably watch you guys over there in the mornings. But we need to find, I know we need to be in the body over here where I'm at. And we need to find a pastor that I can call and talk to a couple around here to see if that's what their belief of the Bible. Everybody posts that they, well, the Word of God is inerrant and we believe this and that, but none of them want to face the culture, it seems like, today. So if you don't mind praying for that, I appreciate it. And I'm going to let you go, brother.
Okay, Jerry, I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, that is an issue. I mentioned earlier this week that if your church didn't say anything about the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service, where so many people heard the gospel, where Jesus was worshipped on national television, that went out from coast to coast and went around the world, and hundreds of millions saw that and were participating in that, and you had people, guys like Tucker Carlson, calling America to repentance, calling individuals to repentance, where Marco Rubio is sharing the gospel and others are sharing the gospel. Something is wrong if you don't talk about that, or you talk about it in disparaging terms and you call it Christian nationalism. I'm going to do a program with my friend, historian Bill Federer, concerning Christian nationalism. If you don't like a Christian nation, I heard one pastor say, well, I'm a Christian and I love my nation. Does that make me a Christian nationalist? They use it as a pejorative. What do you want to be, a Muslim nationalist? Do you want to be a Muslim globalist? America was founded on Christian principles. It was founded on the Word of God. That doesn't mean everybody that it was involved was a born-again believer. Lots of them were born-again believers. But even the guys involved that were deists, we hear that all the time. Well, Thomas Jefferson wasn't a Christian. He was a deist. And so we just throw everything out. You know, you can't say this is Christian. Benjamin Franklin wasn't a Christian. He was a deist. And those guys had a knowledge of the Word of God. They had a respect for the Word of God. They had a fear of God, which the Lord says is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. And so even if they didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, they had an understanding of how, from a biblical perspective, to set up a government. And that's what they went about to do. And no doubt, America was founded as a Christian nation, and you had to be a professing Christian in so many of the colonies to hold office. You can read in the 13 colonies how many of them had in their constitution, these are the people that are going to lead us, and it was a professing Christian. So, Jerry, we'll pray for you that the Lord would open up a door, show you where to go, and a good, solid church. And, you know, yeah, a church is not it's not a rally for a political party, but we do need to engage in the issues that people are talking about, that culture isn't talking about. You know, Don Wildman's story, he's the culture warrior, and a precursor, as Tim Wildman and I talked a couple of weeks ago, a precursor to a Charlie Kirk was Don Wildman, and he was getting the church to stand up against the evils of society. And because as he said, if you lose the culture war, we have a hedonistic, humanistic society. That's not what we want. We want the gospel to be preached. We want people to come to Christ. We want law and order. We want to live and have a country that lives by the Ten Commandments. So I appreciate the call, Jerry. We have Greg on the line from Mississippi. Greg, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. God bless you. I was listening to the program from the start, and I was just thinking, you know, I just cannot stand a liar. You know, I heard it said a long time ago, you know, the one thing about a lie is it never goes away. We forgive and we forget, but I'll never, you know, I just, everything that person ever tells me from here on out, I've always, you know, you, got it in the back of your mind there. I know we're just only human, right?
Right.
And another thing, yes, sir, you were talking about Chuck Schumer, kind of a funny story, but it's not in really. But anyway, me and my family member, I told you he was high up in that party. We're coming from a Mississippi State baseball game one Sunday afternoon, and guess who calls on the truck phone there? Chuck Schumer. And he's talking to a family member. And, you know, I'm sitting there listening. He introduced himself. The guy really comes across as, you know, just like the greatest uncle we've ever had, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you were giving the cuts earlier, just catching him in one lie after another, you know, and it talks about in the Bible in Genesis 3 where it talks about the, Satan is subtle, and that means, you know, well, you get him cornered over here, well, he shoots out over there, and
right.
You corner him out over there, and he shoots out over there, and it's just, yeah, I just, so I heard that, and I said, well, I've got a lot of things to do today, but I had to call in and get my CSC, and thank you,
yeah.
Brother.
Hey, thank you, Greg. I appreciate you, my friend, and thanks for calling in. We have Roger on the line from Arkansas. Roger, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Good. Roger, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm east of you here, about 70 miles, Stevens, Arkansas.
Oh, very good. Go ahead.
Okay, my wife asked me a question, and I didn't have the answer. During the resurrection, I know the dead come up first and then the live will join the dead. Mm-hmm. What happens to the body of the live?
Yeah, you're talking about at the rapture of the church?
Right.
So, yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the dead in Christ rise first, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Well, Philippians 3 says that we eagerly wait for a Savior who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory through the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. So as we go up to meet the Lord in the air, the dead are given a new body and the living are given a new glorified body, and our bodies will be similar to Jesus's. So, and so when Jesus had a body, they could see Him, they could touch Him, He could sit with them and eat with them and drink. So we'll have a body like that, but it's a glorified body. It doesn't have limitations to it. Definitely not going to deal with temptations of sin anymore. And so that's what happens. That's when we get our new bodies, is at the rapture of the church.
That part I knew. The part I was that you was asking me, what happens to the old body?
Yeah. So the old. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Here or what?
Well, it's probably transformed, and so you know, it's kind of like the caterpillar that becomes a butterfly. The Lord transforms us in from something that is ugly to something that is beautiful beyond comprehension. So John said in 1 John chapter 3, he said, it doesn't appear as yet what we shall be. He doesn't know what the glorified body is going to be, but we know that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And so it is going to be wonderful, more wonderful than your mind can comprehend. I was thinking just this week about the scripture verse, Roger, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. So we're all going to be so pleasantly surprised and blown away, because I don't think that we can comprehend how beautiful and glorious the glorified body is, and how beautiful and glorious heaven is. It's going to be more than our minds can comprehend. So God bless you, brother. Hope that helped. We have Dusty on the line from Texas. Dusty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Brother Jeff. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I guess I'm doing okay for an old man. I got a quick question for you. What does the common person, like in my position, basically, I'm not really well known or anything like that, but what does the common person can do to help his country, his city, or his state to become a better nation or a better country? Because this is the first time I've ever heard of a president actually going to different cities, large cities, and getting rid of crime.
Mm-hmm.
And by that basis right there. That's just a blessing from God right there, because it definitely will help the common person from, you know, getting hurt or injured, hopefully, on the streets. But what does a common person like myself do?
Yeah, great question, Dusty. I've talked to different ones that have written on this subject, and I asked that question. I said, okay, you know, we get all hung up in what's going on nationally, and what goes on nationally is important. But the answer that comes back is start grassroots, get involved, know about your school board. School boards are important. Who are you putting on there? And if you don't have good candidates on that are on the school board, good representatives on the school board, then you run for the school board and you get involved. Know about your local government and make sure you have people in local government that have, you know, a value system like your own. And so those things, you start off smaller before you go larger. And, you know, the strength of the nation is the strength of the cities. And as the cities go south, then the whole nation starts going south. We tend to focus so much on who's the president, and the president is obviously critically important. But it's also important, you know, who's minding the store for our public school system and things like that locally. So that would be my encouragement to you. Start off small. As one man said, hey, you want to make a difference in the world, start by making your bed and cleaning your room. So you start out small and you build from there. And having a godly family and raising your kids right and being involved in church and making a difference where you live is the starting point for making a difference in the nation and in the world. So God bless you, my brother. Well, we have Sherry on the line from Alabama. Sherry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
One thing I would like to say to you first, though, before I ask my question, is that it is so refreshing to hear the living word of God flowing right from you into our hearts. And it is amazing, Mr. Jeff.
Thank
I appreciate you,
you
so much.
Thank
I'm
you.
Kind of a new listener, and I'm 81 and been around the block a bunch of times, but I've tried to serve Christ all my life, but tend to be a legalist. I'll warn you first.
Mm-hmm.
But in my marriage, my husband sometimes will tell a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not frequent, but it happens. And I'm just wondering, should I be quiet or should I just go ahead and speak up and tell him, hey, that's not true? He does not like for me to disagree with him. He has a temper.
Yeah.
So that isn't, I don't like that temper when it comes
out.
No. But it's never physically abusive.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great question, Sherry. It's kind of hard to know. One of our counselors, she's in heaven now, but she used to say, you know, there are nickel offenses and then there are $1 million offenses. Obviously, the $1 million offenses, those need to be discussed. The nickel offenses, you can let those go. If it's a pattern of lying, then obviously that's going to be a big issue. And so you would need to bring that up in a very respectful way, not when you're angry or calling him out or something like that. You know, every time you open your mouth, you're lying, that kind of thing, because that's going to create a firestorm and he's going to be defensive and all that. And then also when you talk about those things, I would always I'd put it in language that, you know, this is how this makes me feel. It's not so much that you did this, you did that, and you did the other. That's accusatory. But you know, when this happened, this made me feel very vulnerable. It made me, have a difficulty with trusting you and that kind of thing. And so bring it back to yourself and let him see that those quote unquote little white lies, they can have big, big consequences. But I appreciate you so much. Thank you for your kind comments. And just ask the Lord to give you wisdom and to give you sensitivity, knowing when to press in and when to back off. And like I said, not everything is worth a big fight over. So some things you just let go and ask God to change your husband as you love him and as you serve him and as you are respectful to him. 1 Peter chapter 3. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Sorry we're out of time. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.